This is Donna Partow welcoming you to the 90-Day Jumpstart to a New You. And this is round two. This is for the truly committed women who have made an investment in themselves and in their future in the kingdom. You know, one of the reasons that I decided to charge a fee for this class is that Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And one thing that I've learned in 20 years in ministry is that unless people make an investment in something, it's just too easy for the enemy to come along and tempt them to give up and to quit and to throw in the towel. Whereas if you've made a little bit of an investment in it, all of a sudden your heart is in it. And we had, the first time around, we had about 3,000 women sign up to join the program. Not sure how many made it across the finish line, but of course that's the way human beings have always been. If you think about it, one of the best examples I always give is the Israelites. You know, when they left Egypt, God gave the exact same promises to all of them. God's offer of a new life in the promised land that was there for all 2 million. He was not a respecter of persons. He said, hey, listen, guys, you've been living in slavery. You want to try something different, I'll get a better life for you. Come, follow me. I've given you a leader, Moses. He's going to lead the way. Actually, you're going to follow the pillar of fire and the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and I'm going to take you to a whole new way of living, and it's going to be awesome. And that promise was made to 2 million people. Well, they all started with eager anticipation. In fact, the Bible tells us that they plundered the Egyptians, got all this finery and silver and gold and wonderful things that they pillaged from the Egyptians and set out, so excited. Of course, it wasn't their own money. That was interesting. Think about that. So they had all the stuff that other people donated to them and set off to the promised land. And how many made it? I mean, I know that we've got devoted women here tonight, so I'm sure you know the answer to this. Two. Caleb and Joshua were the only two who made it across the finish line. And I'm not saying that the only reason that the rest of them didn't make it is because they were on borrowed, they were on borrowed goods. But I have noticed over the years that when people make an investment, when they put their treasure into something, all of a sudden their heart begins to follow after. And so that's the reason why this time around I decided to experiment with the idea of, would women be more committed, would they be more motivated if they put a little bit of an investment into it? And I know, I remember 20 years ago, was it not quite, maybe 15, I took the Way Down Workshop. Remember, all the churches were doing the Way Down Workshop, and it was $135. And boy, I'll tell you what, I was pretty determined to finish that class having invested $135 into it. And so that's just kind of why we're doing this. And also then we gave you the opportunity, for those of you who that was a hardship, to recruit some of your friends, and you were paid $25 for every friend that you invited. And of course, this is a whole new concept in the Christian community, so it'll take some getting used to, and we'll see how it proceeds. I see, Joy, you've shared what your goals are. You would like to you'd like to lose some weight. You have some financial goals, and you'd like to see your home as a blessing instead of a burden. That's beautiful. And I know, Joy, you're up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, if I'm not mistaken. One of my goals, I would love to get back up to Halifax. This has absolutely nothing to do with the 90-day jumpstart for most of you, but I will tell you that when my family left Northern Ireland, they landed in Halifax, and that is where my family, my grandfather, actually came and lived and worked there in Halifax. And my grandmother landed at Halifax, but then she lived and worked in Toronto, Canada. They hired many Irish people to work for the telephone company in Canada. So, Joy, that's a little shout-out to you and my Canadian sister. So I'm Irish-Canadian. What do you guys think of that? Yvette is saying that her goal is to be closer to God in her walk with Him, to be healthier, and to be a witness to her family and her friends. And we have some other people joining us on the chat, Teresa and Brenda. I think you guys are back for a repeat. Anything that you didn't get this afternoon, you can pick up here tonight. What I wanted to do this evening was to give you an overview of where we are going for the next 12 and a half, 13 weeks, and to give you some guidelines and some rules. Now, some of you are those who were in the first group and you made it to the finish line, so I'll be preaching to the choir, but also understand that people listening into this, we will archive this. I mean, this can theoretically be floating around on the internet until Jesus comes back. So we want to go ahead and give that overview to those who are not familiar with the program. We are studying together my book, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be, which is a 90-day guide to living the Proverbs 31 life. This book was inspired by an encounter that I had with a woman in Bogota, Colombia, a woman whose husband had been kidnapped. In fact, I've been in ministry in Bogota, Colombia. My oldest daughter, Leah, has also been down there and involved in ministry, and she really has a heart for children and traveled throughout the Bogota area doing Christmas parties for precious little children down there who otherwise might not have had anything for Christmas. But in any event, it's very common, in fact, almost everyone they meet in Colombia has had a relative or a friend, someone that they cared about, who has been kidnapped by these Marxist guerrillas or these drug traffickers. And indeed, I met a woman by the name of Beatrice, and her husband had been kidnapped. And it was actually through that experience that at the age of 50 that she came to know God in a very personal way and set out on the journey to becoming the woman that God would have her to be. She is now 74. And when I met her, she really was just a vision of Proverbs 31 come to life. And it was that encounter with her that inspired me to write the book and inspired me to go back to that Proverbs 31 passage and to really begin to mine it for all that it's worth. Very often we have cultural understandings that we bring to the scriptures. We have years and years of sitting in church and hearing traditional views of things and common concepts, and you know, we kind of think that's what the Bible says, when in fact, if we would come at it with a fresh pair of eyes, we might walk away with a very different idea. And so that's what I did. I tried to go back to that passage in Proverbs 31 with a fresh pair of eyes and say, okay, God, forget everything that I've been taught about what this means. Show me what it looks like for a woman living in, you know, here we are, 2009. What does it look like for a Christian woman living in the West in 2009 to live out the ancient truths packed into Proverbs 31 and began to look at it? And, you know, some of the things in there have been fairly controversial. You know, as an author, I have the joy and the privilege of getting, you know, wonderful, uplifting letters, and I like those. And, of course, you can get 100 of those, and what do you notice? Maybe you gals are just like me. What would you notice? Yeah, you'd probably fixate on the one little bit of hate mail. So I get this, too. And two of the areas that have been most controversial are areas where I think that we just really are bogged down in tradition and, quite frankly, have been deceived by the enemy. And that is the idea. Is it okay or even desirable for a woman to make extra money from home? And the other, so the whole area of finance, and then the whole area of food. I mean, oh, my goodness, believe me, if I have learned one thing in 20 years of dealing with Christians, don't talk about food or you will make everybody nervous and they'll just go into a panic. But what I want to do is kind of give you an overview of what your priorities should be and also give you a idea of what they shouldn't be. Okay, so let's start with what your goal shouldn't be. It shouldn't be to walk out every item on the pages of this 350-page book. No woman on earth could or really even should tackle this entire book in 90 days. This is really just not the intention of it. This book was intended by me to be kind of a life companion. You know, this my goal is that a woman anywhere from the age of 18 to 80 can pick this book up over and over again, and depending on what season of life that she's in, she can get something fresh from God that'll be applicable to her. So in other words, we talk about everything from personal fitness and weight loss and diet to getting your financial house in order, to preparing for retirement, developing multiple streams of income, developing a ministry of hospitality, discovering what your call in ministry is, getting your wardrobe. I mean, we just, everything that's packed into Proverbs 31. You know, any area of a woman's life that could be addressed, I think, I mean, it's covered. It's in there. It's in the book. And so you will make yourself crazy, and you will drop out of the race. Of course, now that you've invested in it, you'll be less likely to drop out. See how I snookered you. But there's going to be a temptation if you get that perfectionist mindset that says, oh, I have to do every single thing on every single page. Otherwise, I'm a failure and a loser, and I'm falling behind, and I need to quit. That is the voice of the enemy, sisters. God will never, never say anything like that to you. What God will say is, you know what, child? File this away, and maybe we'll come back to it later. Or the Holy Spirit might say, Jen, let me go ahead and answer you, dear. You are muted right now, but when I'm done doing the little teaching session, I will unmute you or anyone else who calls in, and we will give you an opportunity to ask your question or to have a time of personal coaching with me. And so anyway, let me, okay, Jen is happy now. Let me go back to what I was sharing. That don't get a mindset. Don't be a perfectionist. And definitely don't say, I have to agree with every single word that Donna writes in this book. You know, don't have an attitude that if you read one sentence in this book that's not what you've always heard and always been taught and what everybody you know believes, that now you need to throw out the baby with the bathwater, okay? It's 350 pages. There's going to be something in here for everyone. So take what you need. Take what God gives you and leave the rest. If there's something you disagree with, okay, don't have a heart attack about it. Don't email me, please. I get enough emails. Well, if you want to email me, you can, but don't feel that you need to email me. I know that there's some things in here that are very unconventional, but I'm sharing with you, I'm one of those people who loved school and got straight A's and everything. I remember one time I was having a meltdown because I got an A minus in college one day, and I was hysterical. You would have thought I failed, you know, because I had an A minus. But I love to learn and grow, and so I've been researching these subjects. I mean, I'm like a bookaholic. You should see this office that I'm in right now. I mean, it's just filled with books on everything from real estate investing to fasting and prayer and health and Bible study and 18th century social activism. And so, you know, there's just a perspective that I'm trying to give you on a broad range of subjects. Do not try this at home. You know, do not attempt to tackle every one of these areas. And that's why I told you one of the very first things that I want you to do is to watch, first of all, watch the course overview, especially those of you who are brand new, and get an idea of where we're going. And just as you're listening to me on that video, by the way, you should have all received that. We're mailing those out. You should all have the DVDs. If not, email me, and we'll make sure we get that to you. Also, if you're waiting and you've just put in your order, you can go on to DonnaParteau.com. All of the videos are right there for you. You can also go on to YouTube. But anyway, so one of the first things after you've watched the course overview and kind of got an idea of where we're going and the different topics that we're going to hit, the next thing that I want you to watch is that SMART goals video. And then just choose three areas. Again, you know, not 5 million areas, sisters. This is how the devil trips us up. You know, little bits with consistency. Pick three areas that you're going to focus on this time around. Now, maybe, you know, in September, I'm probably going to do this again. I say I'm on the fence, but there's something welling up inside of me saying, yeah, Donna, you know you're going to do it again in September. But anyway, so you can tell yourself, hey, you know, in September, I'll take the class again free. And by the way, if you've registered for it now, you can take it an unlimited number of times in the future for free. I should have announced that, and I'm announcing it right now, and so tell a friend. Once you've registered for the 90-day jumpstart, you can take it as many times as you want for the rest of your life for free. And so pick the three that are most important to you, and you know, maybe even make a note in the book, okay, the next time around, I'm going to focus on these three. So I'm not going to make myself crazy that I can't do it all. My focus is on these three areas. You know, we've got one woman saying here, okay, I want to focus on weight loss and my relationship with my family. Maybe for some of you, it's just getting out of bed in the morning, whatever it is. Pick those three areas, and then I want you to come onto the Facebook group, the private group. If you're having any trouble getting into that or have questions about it, please go ahead and email me, Donna@DonnaParteau.com, because that Facebook, that private group, that's going to be where we really support and encourage one another and give each other the accountability that we're looking for. You know, when we did this as a pilot program, I mean, I never dreamed that 3,000 people were going to sign up for this. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I think Moses with the 2 million, I guess, had it a lot harder, but 3,000 people, it just became unmanageable. But we've got maybe 40, 50 women kind of a thing in the group. You know, see, that's manageable. And so we can get to know each other and encourage each other and hold each other accountable to these goals. And those of you who have not seen the video yet, it talks about being real specific with that goal and making it measurable, making it achievable, but then also having a reward and a consequence. So a reward if you do achieve it, but then a consequence if you don't. And we'll check up on you and hold you accountable to it. And then after you have set your SMART goals, the next thing that you'll do is look at the one about setting up a personal notebook. And again, I'm really addicted to my BlackBerry, and I kind of confess that. But, you know, I do like the paper notebook, especially for the daily page. And you'll see, you know, just kind of get into the habit. Don't feel like you need to spend, you know, $90 at the Franklin Covey store. If you want to, that's fine. In fact, when we did this the first time, I actually got a call from the Franklin Covey store here in Mesa, Arizona. They contacted me, and they're like, everybody's coming in here. What's this 90-day program you're doing? If you want to and you can afford it, that's great. I went to Walmart and got the, you know, $10 one. You could even get like a $2 binder, so just whatever your budget is. But give it a try for 90 days and see how having that personal notebook works for you. And we've uploaded all the forms are there on DonnaParteau.com, and, you know, just look on the right-hand side where it says forms to download, and it's all right in there. So you've got your notebook. And then the most important item is the prayer place. And I don't know how generous I'll be able to be with all the prizes this time around. I think those of you who were part of the first one know that I am a giveaholic. You can pray for me if I need to get into a 12-step program. But, you know, we gave out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars in prizes and stuff. So I don't know what exactly the prize will be, but, you know, we'll come up with a special prize. So post your, if you can, the before and then the after picture of your prayer space. And listen, for some of you, it may be a whole room, but maybe not. And again, that's something I'm very open about my life. My first little space that I went into, I lived in a very small one-bedroom apartment, and I had a hall closet, tiny hall closet. I mean, I could barely fit in there. But that was kind of my space. You know, that's where I went into. I was, you know, starting my writing career and my little, you know, home business kind of a thing, but also used that as my prayer room as well. So maybe it's just a corner, maybe it's just a nook, but, you know, ask God to give you that place and make it beautiful and cozy. You know, get your candle and your blanket and your foot warmer and, you know, your book and your Bible, and just make it a cozy little spot that's inviting. So that when you wake up in the morning and you think of all the, you know, your kitchen's a mess from the night before because you didn't run the dishes, come on, who's with me, you know? And, you know, there's just work everywhere you look. So listen, have that, your little oasis, your space that you're going to go to. And, of course, I'll develop this idea a little bit more as we go on. I think I'll probably do a whole teaching on the importance of your prayer time and your prayer space. I'll probably do that next week. But we're just kind of getting you started and giving you some of the preliminary things. So those are the first videos that you'll want to watch. And then, of course, your next step will be to watch your daily video. And I do explain this on the DVDs. Let me go ahead and touch upon it here. I think it's really important to watch the video component, and whether you want to do that on your television or you want to do it on your computer, whatever that, you know, however that wants to work. I think it's better to do it the night before. And because I suspect, and I always say that I think we're all alike as women. You know, we're really all the same, aren't we? And I know the way I am. You know, the minute I go to turn on the TV to watch my Bible study DVD, you know, I'll get sidetracked onto Fox News, and next thing you know, it'll be 10 o'clock and I haven't had my quiet time. Or, you know, if I want to watch it on my computer, I'll just be, oh, you know, I'm just going to check my Facebook real quick. You know, I'm just going to take a quick peek at my email real quick here, you know, and then you get sidetracked. So I think it's a good idea to watch the DVD, the videos, the night before. And that way, when you wake up first thing in the morning, you don't have an excuse to turn on the TV or go to your computer. You go right to that prayer space, that quiet place that you've created to meet with God. So that's just my admonition. You know, I'm not going to come to your house and spy on you. Of course, like Teresa probably was close enough that I could do that, but I'm not going to do that. So that would be my admonition. Listen to your video the night before, at some point during the day. In other words, today is day one. At some point during today, watch the video for day two so you have an idea of what's coming. Okay, so with some of that as our preliminary, I'm just going to go through the book and give you an overview of where we're going to go. Week one, this first week, we're going to do faith foundations. And the core, the heart of that is going to be establishing your time alone with God. And again, I think if you get nothing else out of the next 90 days but the habit of absolutely positively being committed to get up and go to that space where you meet with God and stop deceiving ourselves, and I'm as guilty as anybody, that somehow we're going to get more accomplished in our day by skipping time with God. I mean, that is the biggest lie. And come on, being real, there are plenty of days when I buy the lie too. You know, I take the bait and say, no, I've got to get right to work. And then I end up frustrated and inefficient. One of my favorite sayings, when we work, we work. You know, I don't know about how well you work, but when I work, I not only work, I make everybody around me, you know, kind of crazy and frustrated. So when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And if we could really get a handle on this, and again, I'm preaching to myself for sure. You know, when we start our day with God and we come to Him and say, Lord, what doors are you opening today? You know, what is it that you're going to give me, you know, just clear, open passage to get done today? And if God has gone before you, then it's going to be easy. And that's what Jesus said. The yoke is going to be easy. And the burden is going to be light. So rather than you spending 5 hours trying to get a particular thing done, pulling your hair out, getting frustrated, exhausting yourself, making everybody around you crazy, you know, you start your day on your knees and you say, God, is, you know, what do you have for me today? And God goes ahead of you. And that thing that would have taken 5 hours, because God is ordaining it and He's blessing it, boom, you know, it comes to you. And you get it done in no time. So this principle is going to begin to work in our life. You're going to see how, you know, a woman, you know, plans her way, but God directs her steps. And when you take that tag time, that time alone with God, and make that the foundation of your day, the foundation of your life, this will just, I know the days that I start my day with God, it's just a whole different deal. It's a whole different deal. In fact, I was praying with one of my, I try to pray with someone different by phone every day, which is very cool. I mean, I really encourage you to do that. I just have different friends lined up. I think I have everybody, except Saturday. I need somebody for Saturday. That we pray every day, and I prayed with my Monday prayer partner a couple hours ago, and something just came up, and she just encouraged me to get up tomorrow morning and look at the crescent moon. So I set my BlackBerry to wake me up tomorrow at 5:20. I think it's going to be good for me. I usually have it set for 7, so it'll be a stretch for me too. So faith foundations, and at the core of that is knowing God, listening to God, having time with Him. That's our faith foundations, getting that prayer place, getting that established. And then week two, we're going to begin to develop godly habits. And I think the most important thing is getting a revelation of what prayer is really all about. I think we do have kind of an idea that prayer is us making a list of what's wrong with everybody in our family and what's wrong with our boss and what we really need God to do to make our life better and to make things flow more easily. And that's, you know, kind of, it is okay to present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and really be the umpire. That's what that word means. The peace of God will be the umpire helping you decide, you know, in or out, yes or no. But the real heart of prayer is actually listening to God. And the teaching that I often do on this is from the Latin, that in the Latin, the word audiere, which is where we get our word audio, to listen. And then when they add the prefix ob, O-D-A, which means to listen with great attention, ob, O-D-A, it's where we get our word obedience. And that is what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to have a checklist and a chart, even though I give you checklists and charts. It's not about that. It's not about you running yourself ragged. That's what religion is. Every religion in the world is human beings trying to work as hard as they can and figure out on their own what might make a distant God happy and pleased with them. That's not what it's about. The heart of the Christian life and what sets us apart from every other quote-unquote religion in the world is that we have a relationship. And what is a relationship? It's listening. It's two-way communication. And the obedience that God wants from you is just for you to listen with great attention to what he has to say. And what I want in my prayer for you is that you would discover that the power in prayer is really hearing from God, being planted in the Word of God, and letting the Word of God speak into your life. So powerful. So developing godly habits. And again, some of this is just real basic truths. I'm not sure there's anything real revolutionary here in the first 2 weeks. I know you'll all be with me. Week one, week two, like, yes, Donna, we like you. A prayer room, a prayer space, we're happy. And it starts to get a little bit more challenging because we're going to move into week three where we talk about healthy eating. And this is such an issue for women in America because we're just bombarded in our culture with the love of food. And I'm going to be honest with you, and again, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or anything, but the fact of the matter is that food manufacturers, not all of them, of course, but there are some food manufacturers in the world who deliberately put chemicals into the packaged food. You know, if it's in a bag or in a box, a human being has been involved there, and it may very well be that that human being has placed something in that bag or in that box deliberately to get you addicted. Why? So you'll buy more. I mean, how many of you know, I mean, you just drive by Starbucks and you just, it's like the mothership, you know, it's like, I've got my hands for you. It's like, you know, it's like it's beckoning you. I'm not accusing Starbucks of, you know, deliberately doing something addictive, but isn't caffeine addictive? There you have it. So, again, I love tall peppermint mocha as much as anybody, but we do need to be wise and consider our ways. And really come to God and say, God, is there some food that I'm addicted to? Am I addicted to sugar? Am I addicted to caffeine? Am I addicted to salt? And let's just be really honest with ourselves and with God. And most of you know that before I became a Christian, I was a drug addict. I was a cocaine addict. I was a methamphetamine addict, a pothead. I was all those things. I actually started drinking whiskey, straight shots of whiskey in seventh grade. And, you know, I always say it's said that if you can't drink without getting drunk, you're an alcoholic. So I guess that's what I was by eighth grade. Couldn't drink without getting drunk. By ninth grade, I was a full-fledged drug addict. So I know a little bit about addictions. And listen, these substances, the caffeine, the sugar, some of these additives, salt, our bodies are just as addicted to those things as someone like me who is addicted to cocaine. Now, obviously, there's a difference. I'm not drawing a parallel between illegal drugs and your trip to Starbucks, but I am making a point that the Scripture really does say over and over again that although it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, we're not to be burdened again by any yoke of slavery. And if we're enslaved to something because we can't stop ourselves, then we need to look at that. And the Scripture says that everything's permissible for me. I mean, you know, God loves you and you're on your way to heaven. There's no question about that. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You know, I just wrote an email to my board of directors. I had a nonprofit board of directors meeting yesterday and an issue came up. And I was responding to some of the concerns that were raised and some concerns that I was not affording myself enough grace in a particular situation that I'm facing. And I said, yes, you know, we are under grace. But the Scripture does also warn that there are some who trample the grace of God underfoot. And I just personally don't want to be part of the stampede. And so we have to be well-balanced and we have to look to the Lord and we have to trust Him to lead us into this. Again, we don't want to come into condemnation. It's certainly not, you know, my goal to make anybody feel bad about themselves. I mean, I love chocolate chip cookies. I love Fritos. you know, I love the occasional Starbucks, especially when I travel around the world. There's something kind of fun, you know, you're in Bangkok, Thailand, or, you know, I was in Cairo, Egypt, and then in Bath in England, and found the, you know, the Starbucks and all those places, and it's kind of a connection point, you know, with other Americans. And so that's fun. You know, we have the freedom in Christ. But I'm just saying, let's look at whether or not something is having more control over our lives. We want to live spirit-controlled. Okay, so I hope I'm making some sense. But the reason I'm giving this a lot of time is because I know that this is a big issue for women. And one of the big challenges that came up is, you know, fasting. Oh, we called it the Daniel fast or the Daniel diet. And, oh, I mean, just, can I say all hell broke loose? All hell broke loose, and I do think it's demonic. I think that we have an enemy who has been very effective in using food as a trap, and women, hey, listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. Rather than running to God when we're hurting, we run to food, and that is, it's a trap, and I've shared very openly when I lost my father. You know, he began his downhill decline, and, you know, that kind of started my downhill decline. It was in, like, the summer, you know, early summer of 2006. I gained 30 pounds. I went on to an emotional eating binge that was just completely out of control. I know what it is to eat for emotional reasons. I get it, totally get it. And I've battled with it really my whole adult life, the yo-yo dieting and the emotional eating. But what I'm saying is that Christ would have us walk in freedom. And he doesn't want anything to be master over us other than the Holy Spirit. And I just don't want to live all of my days enslaved to my taste buds or enslaved to food cravings. And so we're going to take a look at that. I probably spent longer on that than I wanted to. But that is week three. And Teresa, you are such a love welcoming everybody. I appreciate that. And you ladies are certainly welcome to chat with one another there online and encourage one another. I appreciate that so much. And then week four, we're going to move into, oh, by the way, during week three, we are going to do that, the 10-day Daniel opportunity. See, I'm calling it an opportunity. I'm not calling it a die-in. I'm not calling it a fast. We're calling it an opportunity to eat God's foods. And I'm going to move on, but I just have to say this because it makes me crazy. You know, so many people came on and said, well, you better consult your physician if for 10 days you're just going to have vegetables and water or God's food. You know, we kind of throw in some seeds and some nuts, maybe a little bit of fruit. Check with your physician. And I said, you know what? Absolutely. If before you go to Burger King, you check with your physician. If before you call up and order pizza and have Pizza Hut, if before you drive through and get a McDonald's milkshake, you consult with your physician. If before you put another, you know, prepackaged frozen entree into the microwave and nuke it, if you consult your physician before you do any one of those things, then absolutely, I think you should immediately get on the phone to your physician and ask him if it would be okay for you to spend 10 days eating God's food. We've been deceived. I'm telling you, it's just the devil. That's why I hate the devil. And that's why I do this, because this is my way of paying him back, you know, speaking the truth, hopefully in love, and setting captives free. When God set me free, and he's still setting me free, believe me, but when he set me free in a big way from the stuff that had me captive, I said, God, I am not content just to walk in freedom for me. I want to lead captives in my train. I want to lead other women out of this stuff. I am so sick of women in the church being sick and tired and defeated by stupid stuff like food. We have the power of the risen Christ, the Holy Spirit, living within us. And we should not live in bondage to food, and nor should we live in bondage to the demands of our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. In other words, what I want, what I think, and what I feel. That should not be able to rule over God's women. We should be ruled by the Spirit of the risen Christ within us, not ruled by what I want, what I think, and what I feel. Okay, week four, strengthening your body. And again, this is an area where, you know, maybe the first time through, you're not going to be able to get to this. but you can come back to it. I think there's some real sound ideas. I talk about finding a walking partner. And even someone like me who has run lots of 5Ks and 10Ks and a half marathon and a full marathon and, done weightlifting and weight training and all these different things and kind of, enjoy to some extent, keeping fit and taking care of myself. Even I find that without an accountability partner, it's pretty easy for me to lapse. You know, when you wake up one day and you're like, I haven't exercised in 3 months. I mean, me. And I've written a book on being healthy in spirit, soul, and body, and even I struggle with it, because life happens and we just get caught up in all of the things that we need to do. There's a quote from one of my favorite songs, when I wake up, I'm on my way, reinventing the wheel and saving the day. And so I just find that having an accountability partner, someone who will walk with you, makes a huge, huge difference. And I'm kind of in a market for a new walking partner because I've had a running partner and we've been running together, but my feet are saying no more running. So I just want to walk. Okay. And I also talk about mini trampolines in there. Again, if that's not something you can afford, fine. Then don't get one. If you can afford one or you want to go on eBay or Craigslist, just make sure you get a really good quality one. Like the Rebound Air, there's some other really good quality ones. Don't get a cheap, like $20 mini trampoline. It's really not good for you at all. Then week five, we go into management tools and self-management, and I talk about giving away everything you can. If you haven't heard about this yet, definitely go to www.thegreatchurchgiveaway.com, thegreatchurchgiveaway.com. When we were in the first 90 days of the pilot program, I was vacuuming and cleaning my room and decluttering, and I kind of share the whole story so you can go look at it. But God gave me a vision for really challenging churches around the country to just give, have a great big giveaway. And you can do this on a smaller scale, just get together with a group of women and just, exchange. I get the idea of exchanging accessories, exchanging purses that you're not using anyway. My motto is, if I have two, when one will do, then give one away. And again, that's the kind of bondage. We're stuffaholics in North America, and God wants to break the power of stuff and materialism off of our lives. And a great way to do that is just getting in the habit of giving stuff away. Now, of course, if you're in a financial bind, then maybe rather than giving it away, you may want to sell it on Craigslist or eBay or have a yard sale. And again, I've been very, very open that my husband, who is an architect, hasn't had steady work in 2 years. So, we did. We had a big yard sale, and we made $500, $600 just in a one-day yard sale. So maybe rather than giving away, you might want to sell it and then, kind of sow that back, sow the 10% into the kingdom and then back into your family. That's something where God is going to lead you. But definitely getting rid of the clutter. Oh, it's going to make such a difference in your life. Week six, we're going to get into financial planning. We're going to talk about the importance of tithing. Again, this is an area where I've gotten a lot of criticism because, I love Dave Ramsey as much as anybody. I think he's a wonderful Christian guy. He's got a great program out there and teaches in churches. Again, I'm not kind of waking up in the morning thinking, gee, how can I criticize Dave Ramsey? But I am saying this. Budgeting, not everybody does well with a budget. I think if that works for your personality or if your husband is really good at that, that's great. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have to make it. If you can do that and you want to do that and God calls you to it, I think it's great. The word budget does not appear anywhere in the Bible. The concept of budgeting is not anywhere in the Bible. What's in the Bible is wise stewardship. What's in the Bible is tithing. And, so that's kind of some basic principles that I set out. Give God the first 10%, the next 10%. Save, that's a scriptural principle. Save the next 10%. Invest a portion of your earnings. Don't get into debt. Live within your means. Listen, don't spend more than you earn. There's your budget. After you've given God 10%, after you've saved or invested 10%, and then I would add on to that, after you've paid an extra 10% on your mortgage so that you can retire earlier and with more financial stability, and after you've done those basic things and you're not using a credit card, whatever is left over, That's living within your means. There's your budget right there. And I don't think it necessarily matters that much if you spend $10 on French fries. You really should spend $10 on French fries, but you know what I'm saying. You know, there's your budget right there. I'm not sure you need to track it. Again, if you want to, I think it's great. But what I'm trying to lay out here is a very simple approach. If you go on a cash basis, and this is something that Dave Ramsey recommends, if you just set up your savings and investments on automatic pilot, set up your tithing on automatic pilot, set up prepaying your mortgage on automatic pilot, and commit yourself to paying cash for everything, of course that includes your debit card, and when the cash is gone, you stop spending. I don't know, call me crazy. There's your budget. Okay, that's week six, so don't email me. I'm not against Dave Ramsey. If it works for you, it's great, but I've never been able to use that kind of a, you know, I'm going to spend $10 on this and $10 on that. It's just kind of when the money's gone. Ramen noodles, people, ramen noodles. Okay, week seven, personal appearance. Again, one of the questions that came up is, you know, does God care what color you wear? Does God care what color you wear? Well, probably not, but the point is not that. The point is that we want to simplify our lives. The whole idea of taking one core color, like for me it's black, for another woman it might be brown or navy blue or camel, pick one basic simple color and make sure everything in your closet goes with that. What that's going to do is simplify your life. You can give away or sell or exchange with other women, anything that doesn't fit with your core color, and then it is going to make your husband so happy that you don't have 5 million outfits in there that you never wear anyway. Most American and North American women have too many clothes. It's not that we need to go out and buy more. We actually need to have less and make it simple. And the example that I give is, you know, I don't have anything navy blue. I just wear black. That way I don't have to, like, stand in the, you know, go out in the sunlight and ask myself, are these navy blue stockings, or are these black stockings? Boy, if they're in my house, they're black. Life is too short. I don't have to, you know, hunt for a matching purse. I only have one color. You know, I have one black purse. My girlfriend just gave me a new one, so now I have two. I think I'll throw away the old one. I've been carrying it for a year. But, you know, let's simplify our lives so that rather than wasting time and energy staring at our overstuffed closet at a bunch of clothes that really don't look very good on us anyway, let's pare it down to those clothes that are the right color, the right fit, and all of that, and simplify our lives. So that's going to be a fun week, purging our closet. And then week eight, we're going to look at developing multiple streams of income. And again, this may not be for every woman. This is kind of the way I put it. If your husband, you know, or you inherited a large, you have a huge inheritance, and you've really been blessed in that way, and there's no way that that inheritance could possibly be wiped out in any way, shape, or form, and or your husband makes a ton of money, and you know for a fact that there is no way that your husband will ever lose that income due to disability. There's no way he's going to get injured and be out of work. You know for a fact that he will never, he's not going to die prematurely. He's not going to die before you. You know that for sure, even though, I mean, the statistics are that the average woman outlasts her husband by 10 years, but you know for sure that that won't happen to you, and you know for sure that your husband will never, ever desert you, then by all means, skip chapter 8 because you don't need it. But if it's remotely possible that your husband might be in an accident and be disabled, I mean, if it could happen to Superman, okay, or if it's possible that your husband might die before you do, or if it's possible that, you know, God forbid, that your husband might just go crazy and desert the family. I mean, these things happen. You know, it brings me no joy to say this, but I'm saying if any of those things could happen to you, then you might want to think about week 8. When we talk about maybe having a home business of your own, developing multiple streams of income so that, God forbid, something happens to your husband and he loses his job. My husband is a very gifted architect, very talented, worked on the Extreme Home Makeover when they had it here in Phoenix. We never dreamed that the real estate market would collapse overnight and he wouldn't have a paycheck, a reliable paycheck for 2 years. 2 years! I mean, when I think about it, it kind of makes me crazy. So I try not to think about it. You know, meanwhile, I praise God that I have a lot of different businesses, and I'll share more about this. You know, I have one little business. Once in a while, they'll send me a check for $60. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, fly to Tahiti on that, but you know, $60, that pays the water bill. Praise God. Praise God. So that's going to be an exciting week. And what I'm saying is just, could you be open-minded? Just be open-minded. Again, in the church, you know, we get such a mindset of, well, you know, I don't need to work, or it would be bad for me as the wife to work. Well, you know, if your husband feels strong about that, okay, obviously you need to be in agreement with your husband. But let's sit down with him, let's pray, and let's be open to the idea that maybe you've got some gifts and talents and interest that would lend themselves to maybe earning a little bit of extra money from home. And then week 9, my least favorite week, and I confess to the radio group this morning, I will confess to you as well, I skipped week 9. The first time through the jump start. I mean, I just hate housework. I shouldn't say I completely skipped it. There was one day that I was decluttering. That's when God blessed my obedience by giving me the vision for the Great Church giveaway. So you can challenge me and hold me accountable that I need to do a better job of, you know, getting my house cleaned and decluttered and putting those systems in place and getting back on top of all of that. So that won't be my favorite week, but maybe there are some women in the group who really just love to clean their houses, and they'll get all of us inspired with it. Week 10, we're going to look at family relationships and the importance of maintaining peace. My favorite idea in there, of course, is developing family traditions. Anybody who knows me knows that really can't cook, but I can go to the dollar store, you know, and pick up some, you know, Easter napkins or some Thanksgiving napkins or St. Patrick's Day hats or Valentine's Day, you know, little hearts and hangy things. I love Dollar Tree. That's my favorite. You know, the other thing I can do is, you know, here we are after Easter. In fact, when I hang up tonight, I think I'm going to run out to Michael's. And, you know, they've got the Easter decorations. They're on liquidation for 70% off. So get some fun stuff. And, you know, you can put that out. Keep it packed away most of the year, but then just bring it out and kind of make it special and fun. But my favorite day of the week is Sunday, and that's the day, the Sabbath. And, again, we're not under law. We're under grace. But the Sabbath is a gift from God. It's a day to rest, a day to reflect, and I think that's probably one of the most powerful tools in our 90-day jumpstart is at the end of each week, you'll see Saturday, you'll kind of have a catch-up day, and then Sunday's going to be your day to reflect and say, okay, God, how did I do with you? How did it go with my family? Where are we coming in the following week? And so have that time just alone by yourself, but then shift into a family time. Gather your family together. And we as a family, we have communion, we confess anything that we've done to offend each other, we kind of clear, you know, if there's been hurt feelings or disagreements, Sunday evening, that's the time to clear that up, and then we give prayer requests to each other, you know, this is what's coming up this week, and or this is what's weighing heavy on my heart, and then we pray for each other, and we, you know, we'll usually have a special song, one of us will say, oh, I love this song, this song really spoke to me this week, and you know, we'll share a special song. Maybe we have a number of like prayer books, and maybe we'll read aloud a prayer, read aloud a passage from one of our devotional books, whatever. It's just a really precious, special time in healing family relationships and building those up. So I think that's going to be a blessing, and that's why I love my prayer room. You know, you don't need to have a room devoted to that. But one thing I did, and I share this, I think I share this in the book, we used to have a dining room. When did that ever get used? Twice a year? So I gave away the dining room furniture, and it was nice, too. Actually, it had been given to me in the first place, but it was really expensive. So I just re-gifted it and gave it away. And so what would have been our dining room is now a prayer room, and that's just a really sacred and a special place. Okay, and then week 11, we look at the ministry of the home, the ministry of hospitality. And one of the things that I think is happening in the church, and there's actually a book called Revolution by George Barna, who is a kind of a trend watcher in the church, and he also agrees with us, is the emergence of the home and the home churches and the home study groups, home Bible studies. Really, in fact, our pastor announced, emphasized this yesterday, that during the whole month of April, every single night there's a different home in the church open from 7 to 8:30, and anyone in the church or even in the community are welcome to go to that home and pray from 7 to 8:30. I know April's kind of gotten away from me, but I think it's a really neat idea. So I think that more and more we're going to see God using the home as a place of ministry. One of my favorite examples of that is Lydia. You know, Lydia in the New Testament was the very first believer in all of Europe. All of Europe. Lydia was the first, and the church in Europe began in the home of one woman. I mean, come on, that's pretty cool. So, you know, who knows what God can do with your home? And one thing that we need to keep in mind as we go through the 90-day jumpstart, none of this is an end in itself. All of it is a means to an end. The reason we want to get our finances in order and get our wardrobe in order and get our body and our eating and, you know, get ourselves in order and our home in order, the reason for all of that is so that we can be used by God to advance His kingdom. You know, I don't want to be a size 6 so that I can be a size 6 and, you know, oh, look at me, I'm so wonderful. It's about that. It's about being as healthy as I can be. You know, maybe healthy for you is a size 10. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're healthy and strong. You know, it's not about me making house beautiful so everybody can come over and be jealous of how perfect my house is, or be intimidated that, oh, God forbid they drop something on my perfect, you know, white carpet. You know, I want to have my house in order so that it's a tool for the kingdom, so that I can open it up and say, hey, 7, 8:30, come pray at my house. Wonderful. I used to have weekly prayer in my house on Mondays. Maybe I need to, I'm challenging myself. Maybe that'll be one of the things that I want to do this next 90 days, get back to opening up my house for anybody who wants to come and pray. Week 12, we look at retirement planning, and again, that's something that you might not get to the first time around, but if this is your second time, maybe it is the time to take a look at that and think, you know, eventually, unless the Lord comes back or takes us home early, we're going to get old, we're going to get gray, we're going to go into our twilight years, and we need to be prepared for that. I talk a number of times about my husband's great-great-grandfather, who is 106 now. You know, still works on his little invention, still, last I checked, was still driving his little Italian import car, still has his own little Italian import business, still plays bocce ball. Last year he had a yard sale. I mean, he is absolutely amazing. He's 106, and the reason he's able to live independently is that he had an invention. He actually invented the walker with wheels. That's his invention, and he lives off the residual royalty income from that. So we need to think ahead. Listen, if we live to be 100 years old, what will we live on? How will we survive? We don't want to live off our children. We want to live off the wisdom of the provision that God gave. And then we'll go into week 13 and finishing strong. We want to have that Caleb heart. So that about wraps it up for the overview. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray. We only have one person calling in, Jen. So Jen, be ready in a minute. We're going to do a coaching time with you. And then what I'll do is go ahead and I'll set the phone down and I will interact with those of you who are on the chat. So first I'll go to Jen on the phones and talk with her a bit, and then I'll talk with those of you who are on the chat. But first, let me go ahead and close out the one-hour teleseminar in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the women that you have called to be part of this 90-day jumpstart. And Father, I pray that they would catch the vision, that this is not about being a certain weight for the sake of looking good. You know, it's not about having a great wardrobe so that you can, you know, strut around. It's not about having the perfect house so that you can be prideful. You know, it's not about any of those things. The end game in all that we're doing in becoming the woman that you would have us to be, becoming that contemporary Proverbs 31 woman, the whole purpose is so that we can maximize our lives for maximum kingdom impact. We want to be women used by you to touch the world. And God, that means that we need to be energetic and we need to be fit. You know, we need to be that one whose arms are strong for our task. We need to be that one whose whose family members are rising up and calling us blessed. We need to be that one who earns a reward, who's acknowledged for the great things that we're doing in the world. We want to be that one who can extend our hand to the poor and needy. We want to be that one who can laugh at the days to come because we have prepared. And God, we just thank you so much for what you're going to do in the coming days and how you're going to equip us to be the women that you would have us to be. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this tool that you've put into our hands, this book, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be. I thank you for the grace that you gave us to put together the DVD so that women can have it and watch it at their own convenience. Father, I thank you for the internet. This is so amazing. You know, once upon a time, Christians had to spend tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on media. We had to pay for radio and pay for television. And now, because of the internet, all of this technology is available to the church for free. Very exciting. And I think that that's just going to release so many resources into the kingdom of God for us to be about your business in the world. And I think it's awesome. So let us just harness all of the technology and use it for you and take back the darkness of the internet and just shine the light of your glorious presence right here on the internet. That's what we're doing here tonight, and that's what we're going to be doing throughout the coming 89 days that are ahead. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and unmute Jen. Jen, can you hear me? Jen Cook, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. I'm sorry.
You're on the air. Welcome. We are moving into our coaching session. Do you have any questions, or would you like to share with us what your goals are for the next 90 days so we can encourage you, spur you on, and hold you accountable?
Sure. Well, I don't have any questions yet, but I just want to thank you so much for your book and all that you're already doing. I mentioned before that I found your book about a month ago. I have a little women's Bible group that I do, and we just got done studying about the Proverbs 31 woman, and I used your book as some resources and some information to share with my group, so it was very insightful. As far as my goals for the next 90 days, basically my number one goal, I challenged my Bible study group to get up a half an hour before their kids to spend time with God, and so many women balked at the idea, and it's try to make it a more of an encouraging thing. So we made a little challenge, and I've been struggling with it myself personally, and so that's my number one goal, is I want to make sure I'm up every morning by 5:30 because my kids usually are up by 6, so I have at least 30 minutes by myself, and the prayer place has made a significant difference for me already, and I just love looking at it, and it encouraged me this morning just to get up and sit down there and was able to spend some time, even though my son did still wake up at 5:30 this morning. And then my other goal would be to make sure I spend one-on-one time with my children. I just feel like the days just get filled with all sorts of activities, and I don't want to miss out on the opportunity as they are growing up that to spend with them now. And then the other goal I had on there, I don't remember the third one, but my fourth one also was about finances and just trying to eliminate some of my non-essential spending. So,
yeah. Well, I'm totally tracking with you, Jen. You and I are on the same page, and I'm going to go ahead and join you in that. I totally, you know, that's one of the concepts in here, getting up 30 minutes before the family and getting up earlier, and I'm going to be getting up at 5:20 tomorrow, so I'll be thinking and praying for you, Jen, tomorrow when I do that. I don't know how many of you have heard my Shine for 2009, Shine. S is Start My Day with God. H is Hold My Weight, and I have a range. I encourage women to set a range. For me, it's about a 5-pound range. It could be a 10-pound range, but as long as it's within the, you know, the body mass index safe area, I want to hold my weight in a particular range. I interact one-on-one 15 minutes a day with every one of my family members. N is network, market, you know, write, do business. About, I think I put 4 hours a day I want to work, and so N kind of stands for networking and working. A lot of what I do is, you know, connecting with people. So, and then E is exercise. And then so each day I kind of write down on my daily page or on my, I'm actually doing it on my devotional, you know, did I start my day with God? Okay, then I get an S. Did I hold my weight? You know, I'll wake up first thing in the morning, I weigh myself. Did I hold it? H. Okay, I got an H. Did I interact with each of my children? There's my I, and did I put in a good 4 hours of work, or did I just network, or did I just, you know, goof off on a, you know, weekly standard and national review politics, you know, it's my big temptation. Did I really put in 4 solid hours of ministry and work? That's my N, and then E, did I exercise? And then if I, in fact, shine, what I do is I take out a yellow highlighter, an orange highlighter, and I draw a sun on that day of my devotional book because I was able to shine that day, and my goal is to get as many, you know, happy little sunshinies in as I possibly can. So any of you are free to borrow that shine in 2009 motto, and also we'll be holding you accountable to finances and just really cutting out those non-essential expenses.